Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Hi, welcome to episode 16 of the AP Now broadcast. I'm Mary Schaefer from AP Now, and today I'm going to talk about a particular invoice headache and one that cannot not only can be minimized, but can actually be eliminated. And the reason I'm so clear on saying it can be eliminated is because this has happened to one of my readers when she used the practices that we're going to discuss today. Today's show is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. Now, you know, when it comes to invoices, there are just a ton of things that can go wrong. And in fact, there are so many things that can go wrong that we're going to have a webinar in the beginning of October 2019 on this topic, and I'm going to address them. And one of the problems that I'm going to address is one that I call the floating invoice. This is an invoice that comes in, and it looks legitimate, and it probably is legitimate, but it has no purchase order number on it and no name of a requisitioner. So when it finally gets down to accounts payable, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know who to send it out to for approval, and that kind of stops them right in the track because they need to get approval in order to pay the invoice and in order to do the three-way match, assuming that there was a purchase order associated with it, they need to know the purchase order number. So they're kind of stymied at that point. Now, the first time I saw this issue in real life, if you will, is I was doing some consulting work for a not-for-profit, and it wasn't a tiny one. It wasn't a huge one, but it was a good size not-for-profit, and they had seven or eight people working in their accounts payable department, and woe and behold, here shows up an invoice, and they don't know what to do with it because it's not, there's no purchase order number on it, there's no name of the person who placed the order, and they've got to get an approval. So they go to the controller, and she doesn't know either, but it looks like something that they'd ordered. So the controller took that invoice, and she went from office to office, knocking on the door with the invoice, saying to each of the people that she interrupted, "Hey, is this your invoice? Did you order this?" And so each of them would have to take the invoice, stop what they're doing, look at it. "No, it's not mine," and give it back to her. So she was like, you know, the kid who goes knocking door to door because they lost their dog. Well, she didn't have a lost dog. She had a lost invoice, and she was stuck trying to figure out, you know, who had ordered it and how they could get the approval and how they could get back in the normal process. And as I watched her do that, one thought went through my mind. What a waste of time and resources. Her time, but also when you think about what the company was paying her, and this is what she was doing, going around trying to find out who had placed this order. And all I could think of is there has got to be a better way. But I know that this goes on in companies all over the world, actually. And the accounts payable department gets these things. Companies are reluctant to either, you know, throw them away or send them back to the vendor. They're afraid the vendor will get offended. And I can understand why they feel that way. So typically somebody in accounts payable has to put on their detective hat to try and figure out who ordered this stuff. It's usually not as was extreme in my example, the controller of the company. But again, yes, the people who work in AP make a little bit less or a lot less than the controllers in most organizations, but it still is not a good use of their time. Most accounts payable departments are overworked. They have too much work. They're getting more work, and going around trying to figure out who ordered whatever it is not a good use of their time. In fact, it's a very poor use of those resources. So I've got some solutions for you, but before we get to the solutions to this all too common problem, we have a message from our sponsor, Stamply. AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter into the system, Stamply's AI called Billy the Bot immediately goes to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Now here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, accounts payable, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/AP now. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/AP now. All right, and back to our story, and more importantly, back to some solutions to this all-too-common problem. Now, the first time I heard about this solution that I'm going to share with you, I heard it when I was giving a talk at the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. And all I could think of was, if it's good enough for our U.S. government, it should be good enough for the rest of us. And here's what they did. They said they created a very polite letter that was attached to any invoice, and the invoice was sent back to the person who sent it. And it said something like, in order to get you paid in a more timely manner, ABC Company, or in this case the FDA, requires that all invoices have either a purchase order number on it or the name of the person who placed the order, the requisitioner. The whole idea here is that you want to train your vendors so that they don't continue to submit invoices that are incomplete and make it difficult for you. So they sent it back, and of course, being the FDA, I thought, well, they can get away with it. The other advantage of creating this polite letter, and by the way, you can use the same wording that you use in the letter in an email if you've received email invoices, is that it makes it faster for your staff. They don't have to recreate the wheel every time they get one of these invoices and, you know, rewrite the letter. You have a much better shot that you have good grammar, no typos. Yeah, they'll have to tweak the letter a little bit, but you've got the body of it there for them. You also don't have to worry about those situations where one of your employees inadvertently insults the vendor and the way they word things, because you've set it all out there for them. So you can spend a little time putting this letter together, and you know, this way you're all set to go, and so is your staff. Now, whenever I share this solution with folks, some people will do it. Not a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of adoption of this, although it's greater than it used to be. But people would say things like, oh, our management team would never let us send the invoices back, or, oh, that just wouldn't fly at our company. And I'm like, okay, you know, I've shared with you what I think is a good solution. And, you know, if people choose not to take that approach, well, that's their business. So I wrote about this. I write about this periodically. And I wrote about it in our free weekly e-zine several months ago. And I got a letter from a woman who actually coincidentally had used to work for the same company my son does, but that's neither here nor there. And she said, you know, I was so glad to see that you'd written about this. She said, because I'm here to tell you that it works. She said, you know, I worked for a Danish company, and she said they sent over the instructions that we were to do this. And she said, I fought it. I thought, they don't understand how we do things in this country. This will never work. And I fought it and I fought it. And they said, no, we're going to do it. And they insisted. So, you know, at the end of the day, they signed the checks. So, you know, the letters went out to all their vendors. And she was sure it would be a disaster. Not only wasn't it a disaster, but at the end of the day, she said it took 3 months and they got 100% of their vendors lined up, 100% of their vendors conforming. Because when you think about it, when a vendor sends an invoice, all they want is to get paid. And so you're telling them, and as long as you're polite about it, you're telling them how they can get paid. So by putting this information on, you're helping them get faster. And this is one of those few times, and I do emphasize the word few, where it's a win-win for both parties. By putting this information on, they get paid quicker. You have fewer problems. So I like to say the proof is in the pudding. And in my case, I always hope for sticky toffee pudding. And if you've never had it, I highly suggest if you get yourself over to the UK that you find a place and order it, because it's really good. But you didn't come to hear me talk about sticky toffee pudding. Now, there is an ugly solution to this, and I'm going to tell you that a few of our readers do utilize this. It works, well, not so great, but it does work sometimes, but it will also aggravate the living daylights out of your vendors, the ones that you try and use it on. So I don't recommend it, but I do share it because some people do this. When they get the invoice that is missing this information, which you'd think everybody would know enough to put on, but they don't. What these folks do, instead of wasting their time, they just put the invoices to the side, and then if somebody on staff has some free time, and you know how often that happens, then they go and they try and identify who sent the invoice. And then, you know, eventually the vendor does call looking for their money. And at that point in time, the AP department explains to the vendor that, you know, if you'd put the purchase order number or the name of the requisitioner on the invoice, we would have paid it sooner. You would have gotten your money quicker. Yeah. Maybe it works, but, you know, part of our goal not only is to get the company's bills paid, but not to aggravate our vendors and to try and do what we can to improve vendor relations, which is why I like my polite letter approach better than this solution. Yeah, you don't waste the resources, but you don't improve your vendor relations. And if anything, they deteriorate a little bit over this type of approach. But anyway, I share it. It's what some people do. And of course, one of the ways that you can avoid this problem, if you will, is by using an invoice automation solution. You know, with the invoice automation solution, you'll have avoided this problem, and you won't have to deal with it. And I throw it out because it is a solution, not because the sponsor of our podcasts has an invoice automation solution, but they do. And if you are interested in invoice automation, you might want to stop by Stamply and see what they have to offer. Okay, well, that's it for now. Thank you for listening to this AP Now podcast. A special thanks to our sponsor, Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate this episode, review this episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, with your staff, or wherever. And of course, if you try this and it works out for you and it's a big success, I'd love to hear from you at AP Now. You can always write to me at publisher@ap-now.com. I love to hear from folks. To be alerted to new episodes of this podcast, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for a free twice-a-week electronic news alert. You can use the box on the left of the website. It contains tips, news, and news of upcoming webinars, article postings, new podcasts, and more. Thanks for listening. I hope to see you again on another AP Now podcast. Mm-hmm.